Sincerely, maybe I'll talk to you guys about it in the next session, just for the men. But the temper is a real issue sometimes. A lot of guys never master their emotions, and it just flows out of our temper. That's an issue that damages a lot of relationships. And then you get to Ephesians chapter 5, and he talks a lot about purity. How many of y'all agree that that's worth our talking about? Because purity issues can do damage to a marriage. And then you get down here to the passage that all of us know, beginning in verse 21. You see that verse? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, Bethley and I have noticed that the culture we live in the church often uses that verse to undermine everything the rest of the passage teaches. We were at a funeral. It was a wedding. We were at a wedding recently, and we had actually done the premarital counseling for this couple, and yet a family member was doing the wedding itself. And at the wedding itself, the family member referred to this verse, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, and basically said something like this: I know the culture teaches that, you know, you should submit to your husband, but you know what the Bible says right here is we're to submit to each other. What the Bible says right here is that we're all on equal footing. Men not in charge, woman's not in charge, we're just all in this together. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches here at all. So when he says here, submitting one to another in the fear of God, he is talking about a spiritual truth that is essential. Every one of us are to live our lives submitted, right? We're to submit to God, is that right? We're to submit to God's word. We're on equal footing there. But after he introduces this section called submission, verse 21 is the introduction to three parts of Paul's writing in the book of Ephesians. Verses 22 through 33 is about the submission necessary in a marriage. Chapter 6, verses 1, 2, and 3 and 4 are about the submission necessary in a family between parents and children. And then verses 5 and following there is about the submission that we show even in our employment and our relationship to those around us. So this is introducing us to a topic here that is a debated topic in our society. You're aware of that, aren't you? We live in a strange hour when men are taught to be quiet and women are taught to take charge. We live in a strange hour when men are taught to be docile and women are taught to be aggressive. So our whole world's got everything upside down, and you know this, don't you? It's affecting the church, because most of us would know more about the philosophies of the world we live in than we would know about God's word. But God in his word is laying out for us, how do you have a happy marriage in a messed up world like ours? Well, last night we talked to you, you got to master the art of communication. And then we talked about we need to master our relationship in the bedroom. And what he's going to talk to us here about is winning at leadership and submission. And so you know the text, let's read it. Verse 22, wives, I think you most of you would probably know this. Submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Why did Jesus love the church and give himself for it? Well, verse 26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And if you drop all the way down to verse 31, here's a key verse in marriage. You know this, don't you? For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Where did we learn that last night? The book of Genesis. Where else does it show up? Do y'all know? It shows up in Matthew. In the relationship Jesus talks about, in the discussion Jesus had about divorce. So when they asked Jesus, is it okay to get a divorce? Jesus said, don't you know that when God made the world, here was his plan, that a man leaves his father and mother and is joined unto his wife, and now they're no longer two, they're one. Somebody told me after church last night that here is marriage mathematics, 1 + 1 = 1. And that's not Common Core, that's scriptural marriage, 1 + 1 = 1. And so here's what he's saying. And then verse 33 is a real key verse. You ought to underline it in your Bible and memorize it. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So what's he talking about here? Leadership and submission. Don't let this scare you. This is a God-given, wonderful way to have a happy marriage, winning at leadership and submission. So let's get started. The first point, very simply, how do you win at leadership and submission? We're going to give you three steps, all right? Number one, you got to build a good relationship. So write that down in your notes. You got to build a good relationship. And Bethany, I'll talk to you about this just a little bit. You build a good relationship because without a relationship, leadership and submission fail. You know, it's not some cold, clinical, sterile kind of thing. It's like, all right, husbands, you love your wife. It's your calling. It's your cross to bear. Love your wife. All right, women, submit to your husband. That's your cross to bear. It's not that at all. It's a relationship. And I'm imagining, since y'all are married, you like each other. Is that fair?
That's fair.
One of us. Do y'all like each other? I'm assuming you do. Isn't that why you fell in love? You like each other, don't you? How'd y'all meet? Remember those days? Remember what you first talked about? Remember how amazing you thought each other were? Have you forgotten that? You can. You can get over that, and we can get more focused on the problems, can't we, than we get focused on the relationship. But if you've got a good relationship, then you're on a good way to love your wife and submit to your husband and lead, and all these work together when the relationship is good. Without it, they're forced. That's your next fill in the blank. If you don't have a good relationship, these things are forced. How many of y'all know that forced submission is always a bad thing? Are y'all aware of that? You're going to submit to me, woman. How'd that work out for you? Yeah, as soon as those eyes open, you know, now that they're closed after the beating you got, no, it doesn't work. They're forced. Nobody wants forced submission. Nobody wants that. That's why we train our children. Our children have to obey, right? And so what's the deal there? The goal is sometimes you have to make a child obey. And how many of y'all agree that's always a pain? But our goal is not that our kids spend the 18 years there with us forced to obey. That's a painful way to live. We want to have such a close relationship and a happy home and train our kids to have a happy heart in submission to God so that obedience is an easy thing for them. God never intended all this to be this heavyweight burden. Oh, my word, I just hate having to obey God's word. No, it's a relationship. Do y'all love the Lord? So it's easy to obey Him, isn't it? There's no problem having to go to church. We love the Lord. We go to church. In fact, in evangelism, we went, right, Josh? When you were a kid, we had six-day revivals. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Pack up the RV and drive somewhere else and start all over. We had a saying in our family, we don't have to go to church. We get to go to church. And you know, there's a sense in which you can spend that positively because it's easy to like, oh my word, we got to go to church again. No, we get to. Why? Because we have a relationship with the Lord, and it's a good relationship. Y'all follow this? This is God's plan for your marriage. Not that these are forced. All right, I'll lead. Okay, I'll take the lead here. No, we love each other. This is a relationship. So it's not forced. And if there's no relationship, these actually damage rather than help. If you don't have a close relationship, then leadership and submission will damage. Because all you end up doing is fighting, demanding your way. Got to have it my way. It's not Burger King. This is not have it your way. No, this is a relationship. So go back to last night. For today's session to work, you got to win at the communication. Because isn't that where the relationship starts? How many of y'all, I'll be honest, how many of y'all have ever had a best friend that you really don't even know anymore? Has that been true in your life? As far as I know, every friend I had in high school, I don't know that I've ever been to their house now that we're adults. And we would have said we were best buddies. Well, the reason we were best friends, we went to school together every day, and we talked all the time and did things together, and that relationship, we're best friends. I didn't know Bethany the night I met her. I mean, I kind of knew who she was as far as I knew she was on campus, and she was one of the cool kids. I didn't know that. And I remember when our friend from California introduced us, I didn't know her. And I was a little nervous, actually, because, you know, in my thinking, she was the cool kid, and I was not. And I was pretty nervous about this, but boy, we talked. It was a good conversation. And before that night, we had just met that night, and we actually, what was that thing they called it? Well, now we were on a Christian campus, so that would have gotten us kicked out. She was thinking it, though, I'm pretty sure. You can write that down. Tweet that. The outing they had, the dating outings. The ladies was called something. The guys was called the stag. No, that was stag outing. Was just the guys only, wasn't it? Oh, so it was just dating outing. So that night, you invited me to yours, right? And so she said, you know, it's the dating outing, and it was traditional on the Christian campus we attended that the girls in the fall would invite the guys on a dating outing if you wanted to invite a guy. And she invited me. Would you like to go, you know, the dating outing with me? And then we sat there a few moments, talked, and she was like, now, she said, my mom and dad will be on campus next weekend. Would you like to meet my mom and dad? And I was like, now, wait a minute. You know, we don't even really know each other yet, so we probably should go to church together, maybe dinner together, because if I'm going to meet your mom and dad, we probably ought to get to know each other. So before that first night ended, we had like 4 more dates planned. And, you know, just had to do that. So I meet her mom and dad. And I remember meeting her dad because he came in. We'd had like 3 dates when I finally met your dad. And her dad walked in. He's a very imposing guy, always sharp dresser, 6 foot something, and I'm not. And just a broad-shouldered, well-dressed man. And he walks in and he shook my hand and he said, so you're the young man that my daughter seems to be smitten with. And I wasn't sure how to answer that, you know. Well, yes, I am. Lucky girl. So those, you know, this was the beginning of a relationship. You remember that in your life, don't you? The relationship is what makes this special, what makes this work. I want to just say right up front, don't go into today's session thinking, oh, my word, fine, he's going to tell us we got to lead and submit. No. Don't you love each other? Don't you want your marriage to work great? Aren't you working on getting close to each other? You know, I don't hold hands. Well, sometimes I'll hold hands with my daughter, but the only lady I hold hands with is Bethley Joy. Why? Because this is my wife. This is my best friend. It's my favorite person in all the world. The only person I make out with is this girl right here. The only one I would be necking with, whatever that means, would be this girl right here, all right? But see, that's the whole point. There's a relationship here. So this is going to be forced. Now, couples should be best friends. Put that in your notes. Couples should be best friends, all right? Guys, your goal is to be best friends with your wife. And ladies, your goal is to be best friends with your husband. So it takes 4 things, and you can write these in your notes there. Number one, it takes time, doesn't it? This takes time. The reason you got married is because you spent time with each other. I suppose there are exceptions to that. When I was a kid in Wartburg, Tennessee, where I grew up over in East Tennessee in the mountains, there was a guy in town, and he was older, and he was single, and he was odd. And he attended our church. And one day he met this girl, and she was single, and she was older, and to be fair, she was a little odd. And they met each other, and they talked a few moments, and he said to her, so are you single? And she said, I am. He said, can you cook? And she said, I can. And he said, will you marry me? And she said, I will. And 2 weeks later, they got married. And so I suppose it can happen that way, but for most of you, it didn't happen that way, did it? You know, I guess you could get a mail order bride, but probably most of you fell in love. And that's because you spent time to each other. Why did Bethany and I fall in love and get married? For all the time we spent that senior year in college, I mean, we were pretty limited on what we could do in a dating relationship on a Christian college campus, but we had a whole lot of time together talking, and that leads to the second point. If you're going to be best friends, it takes talking. How do you become friends as guys with another guy? Well, you have to spend time with that other guy, and you talk to him. And you become friends with the guy you talk to. My son Matthew is living right now in Colorado, and he is friends with this guy named Austin now. Well, I don't know Austin, but I hear Austin's name every time he sends me a marketable. Austin said this, and Austin did that, and Austin and I were laughing about this. Well, here's what happened. He moved to Colorado, got a job, and Austin is on the job, and he and Austin work together every day. So about 12 hours a day, they talk and laugh and goof around and poke at each other and pick at each other. And you know, one's going up the ladder and the other one pinches him on the leg. And they're just having the time of their life. Well, now they're best friends. It's the time and the talking that matters. That's why you got to go back to last night. The more time you spend together and the more you talk to each other, the closer your relationship's going to be. So take advantage of all those normal times and scheduled times, okay? And there's two others. It takes growing and it takes love. Couples should be best friends. Takes growing and takes love. And that last one's going to lead us right to our next point. So let's jump in so we can get to the text. Point number two is learn to love. Learn to love. How do you win at leadership and submission? You build a good relationship and you learn to love. And so four things there. Why don't you jump in and help us out here? Four things here. And let's give you these four fill in the blanks. All right. How do you learn to love?
Is that on?
Oh, it's on.
Good. First of all, you have to say it. And the reason that this is the foundation, learning to love is the foundation, is that if you're not loving each other, leadership and submission is a very difficult thing. At least coming from the lady's point of view, it's hard to submit if you're not loving him, if you aren't adoring him, because there will be times, probably many times, that he will make a decision that you're like, oh, no, that's not going to work. Or, wow, okay, how are we going to make that happen? And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But if you learn to love your husband and you're growing in that love and deepening that love and that friendship all the time, it makes submission so much easier. So the first thing you should do is say it. Say it a lot. Don't assume that he knows, ladies, that you love him. Say it. And men, we like to hear it.
It's the truth.
We do, over and over.
We're all different in our upbringing. How many of you were raised in a family that said it all the time? Were you? How many of you were raised in a family that did not? See, Beth and I are opposites there. Her family said, I love you for no reason. I was like, why'd they just say that?
Sorry, my stool.
Oh, there you are. Bethany's family said it all the time. I was always shocked when I married into her family that her dad would say, I love you to me, just for no reason. Hey, how are you doing? There you are. I love you. I love you. I love you. He would say it. Love you, son. Love you, son. If I called him, he'd always, hey, I love you, son. My family said it on special occasions. You know, like when you're born, you get married, you die. Okay? So our families were different. But I watched Bethley's dad, a pastor, but a man's, he was a hunter, he was a football guy, a man's man, but he was very loving. And I asked the Lord to help me be that way. And I had to learn that because we didn't say that a lot in my family. But men, it's important for you to say, I love you. Say it. Ladies, it's important for you to say that. And listen, if this is the only thing you got out of the session, start there. Start by learning to say, I love you. And if that's not normal to you, work at it. Guys, if you're not comfortable with that, when you crawl out of the shower tomorrow and you're looking yourself in the mirror, work on it. I love you. Because you probably are looking at the man you love. I mean, the Bible does say that here in the text. And if you're shaving, practice it. I love you. I mean, practice. If you have to practice it, practice it. I love you. Try writing it. These are wonderful tools for a marriage if you use them wisely. Text your wife and say, hey, baby doll, I love you. I love you. I love you. If your teenagers read your text, you can break them of that by sending a very steamy text either. And they'll read that and never pick up your phone ever again in their life. And it'll help them, see. So love, learn to say it, learn to say it, learn to say it, learn to say it. All right. Now write this one down. Show it. Show it. What do we mean by that?
Just in the little things every day. Ladies, in the next session, we're going to talk about how that when we're winning in our relationship, we're winning on the daily. It's not something that you just come to a marriage retreat and all of a sudden you win at your marriage. This is wonderful. And this is the shot in the arm that so many of us need all the time. But you have to win daily. And one of those ways that you do it is to show your husband that you love him. If there's something that he would prefer that you not do, maybe it's something you did all the time growing up. Your mom did it all the time, but your husband's like, we don't need to do that. Well, then just don't do it. Or maybe it's something you never did growing up. My mom never did that for my dad, but your husband would love it for you. Well, show him that you love him by doing it. You're a whole new family anyway. So leave behind what your mom and dad did. Yes, you're going to bring some of that into your family, but now you're a new unit. work on you and show him that you love him. We had friends that we hardly ever get to see anymore, but one time the wife and I were out shopping, and one of the things that I love to do for David is if I'm out shopping and I see something that I know he would like and we have the money for it, I will get it for him. And so we stopped by this chocolate shop, and of course, I love chocolate, and she loved chocolate, and we were like, oh, let's go in. So we're getting chocolate, but I'm also thinking, okay, what would David really like? And so I ordered some of that for him, and she's putting it in the box. And this girl ordered just 1 pound of just one type of chocolate. And I was like, ooh, do you both really like that? And she was like, no, he doesn't like it, but I do. And I was like, ooh, well, what would he like? And she was like, he'll be fine. And I mean, it's just a little thing. It was not a big deal. And I'm sure her husband probably didn't think a thing about it. He's probably thinking, happy wife with chocolate. She's fine. So he was okay. But just think of little things that you could do that could show him that you love him.
So guys, what could you do? What shows your wife that, I mean, is she a flower person? Then buy her flowers occasionally. Pick her some. Spring's coming. There's cemeteries everywhere. They will not miss them, I promise you. They won't know. I'm being a little silly there, so don't get arrested. What'd you go to jail for? Stealing flowers for my wife? But seriously, what does she love? Does she love a nicer meal? You know, you always can't afford to go out to a nicer meal, but occasionally Bethany and I dress up a little bit and have a nicer, slower meal. Spend a little extra money to where you, when we lived in Florida, we lived not far from the Melting Pot, a fondue restaurant, and it costs, you know, like an arm and a leg and one child to eat there. But my wife loved that, and what she loved about it was always dark in there. For some reason, to a wife, my wife, that means romantic. And secondly, it's slow because you got to cook every bite of you put in your mouth. You got to cook it yourself. I pay a ton of money to cook my own food at the fondue restaurant. But my wife loved that, see, because that was showing her I loved her. If I saved the money, and occasionally we went to the Melting Pot for a romantic dinner out. It doesn't have to be a high dollar meal. You can have a meal, you know. You can have a date meal at McDonald's if that's your thing. But what is your wife like? My wife loves to shop. So if I can make a way for her to go shopping, that's a great thing. Shows her I love her, especially if I give her $500 and send her.
Yeah.
She'll go without me if I give her $500. I don't have to go. It's a win-win. But knowing that my wife likes to shop, when we were in evangelism and we were in churches all over the country, we'd often visit downtowns of little towns all over the country because there are always little shops. And so we'd take an afternoon. We always went to a coffee shop if there was a local coffee shop. In fact, we went to the coffee shop. What's the one we ate with you guys at a coffee shop in town? In fact, has a little antique shop. Is that the? Yep. So the little brick road. Yeah, we went there twice, actually, when we were here. And did a little shopping over there and had a little meal over there. And so just a little getaway. Because she likes that thing. That's important to her. What's important to your husband? That's how you show love. What's important to your wife? I'm not about the special things. You know, I mean, you know, some of you guys in this room got a beard. Buy them beard oil. I don't know, whatever he uses. Some are clean shaven, so buy him a razor. Whatever. What means, you know, I like motorcycles. Now, my wife doesn't care about motorcycles as much as I do. I'm a big motorcycle guy. I have one. And so my wife's okay with that. She doesn't fuss at me about it. She knows that I'm going to be careful. And sometimes she'll ask me to wear a helmet because you don't have to in Missouri. And there's just something cool about having wind in your face. But she allows me to do that. Like, she's showing me love. I will take her shopping. Some guys, we can be so weird about this, can't we? We can get so uptight about our wife going shopping. But if we want a 12-gauge shotgun, we'll buy it. Come on, help me out here. Don't look at me that way. You know, if I want to go on a hunting trip, I'll go. A lot of guys are that way. If I want to buy a four-wheeler, I'm going to buy me a four-wheeler. And yet we'll fuss at our wife if she goes shopping and spends a couple of $100. And obviously we need to live by budget and be wise, but what can you do to show your love? It's important to work at that. was preaching at a camp years ago in Nashville, Tennessee area. Bill Rice Ranch was the name of the camp. And I was preaching to juniors, and there was some little ones in there having a hard time staying awake. They'd been out playing in 100 degrees heat, and they came into my service, and it's air conditioned, and they're, you know, fading. And one thing I know about juniors, if you ask a question to juniors, they will answer it. Adults aren't that way. You ask a question in church, and they just look at you. You know, like the wheel's turning, but the hamster's dead kind of look, all right? And teens are the same way, but not juniors. You ask a question of juniors, and they're all in. So I asked the juniors. I was trying to keep them awake, knowing if I can get them involved, they'll stay awake. So I said, we know that Jesus loved the church because he gave himself for the church. And I said, boys and girls, it's like being married. Why, if your daddy loves your mom, the way he makes that known is he shows her he loves her. So here was the question I asked them. What could a husband do to show his wife he loved her? Now, these are juniors. You should have been there. And they had all kinds of them. You know, he could hold her hand. And they all die laughing. One said he could kiss her. And they all gagged. One little guy, I'll never forget him. Here's what he said. He said he could buy her some fried chicken. I have no idea where that came from. I've often wondered if his mom had high cholesterol. Who knows where that came? Was he just being silly, or is that what his dad does when he's in the doghouse? He goes and buys his wife fried chicken. I have no idea. But all of us ought to think about this, all right? So we can say it, we can show it. Give us the last two there, all right? Number three, write this one down.
We can sustain it. Life is so daily, right? And it can really get rolling. And there are times where you might look at each other over the table and the kids are all between you and the mess is all between you and think to yourself, when was the last time I told you I loved you? When was the last time we had a sweet conversation? When was the last time we actually kissed each other? And so sustain your love, even in the days that are just normal, humdrum. It's okay for you to have a sparkly romantic moment in the midst of all of your daily chaos. So sustain it.
Amen. And then number four.
Shout it.
That's a great word, don't you think? I don't mean get a bullhorn and stand in the yard and I love you. But your love should be louder than any disagreement. Your love should be louder than any problem, than any situation. If you're going through a hard time in this room right now in your marriage, this is a good place to start. Say it. Even if you're not feeling it, say it. And show it. You can still buy flowers or cook his favorite meal. Sustain it. Keep working at it because love, Dr. Adrian Rogers says that love is never static. Love is either growing or declining. At any given time, our love is either growing or declining. And you know, don't you, that God's plan is when you get married, you think, well, you're so in love. I can't believe I get to spend the rest of my life with this person. You know what happens to a lot of couples? They start on this plane of we are so in love, and over the years, it just declines. And you can have couples that are still together after 40 years that don't love each other. They're just roommates. They're just there. They don't have love for each other. This is important that you sustain it. Every year of our life, our marriage should get stronger and stronger and stronger. If God does let us live to be 76 years married, we should be like that couple I talked about last night. There should still be a twinkle in our eye and a little flirt with each other. It's okay. If God allows you to go through a horrendously difficult time, what do? Sustain your love during that time. Still say it. No matter what health issue, you live for each other and together. And you know, some of us, you know, won't live to be as old as others, but if we do live to get old, our marriage ought to be amazing in our older years. We ought to be loyal and madly in love with each other. There's something sweet about an older couple that's for each other and helps each other in and out of the car. And sometimes you can see an older couple where one's feeding the other. That's pure love that's been sustained. So it ought to be louder than anything going on in your life is that you love each other. And sometimes you're in the middle of an argument, your kids should still know you love each other. Life is normal. We have disagreements. We have sometimes arguments, but always make sure that you kiss and make up. in front of your kids if you've argued in front of them. We ought to continually shout that our love is louder than anything else in our lives. Does this make sense, y'all, so far? All right, so then let's jump into the text, and we'll finish right here. All right, number three, how do you win at leadership and submission? Agree on initiative and partnership. Two key words we want to talk to you about in this session here in the last 20 minutes. Initiative and partnership. Men, you are to take the initiative. So let's talk to you men, and then ladies, we'll talk to you about partnership. Men are to take the initiative. Write that down. Leadership is not all by yourself. It is full responsibility. It's not all by yourself. It's full responsibility. Now, what do I mean by that? Guys, God didn't call you to say, all right, I'm the man of this house, so I'm going to decide everything we do. No. The point of the husband being the head of the wife is that you have the full responsibility before God for what happens in your marriage and family. It's your full responsibility. So you could honestly say it like this in the sight of Almighty God: if Bethany and I are not well, it's my responsibility. If we got a problem that needs to be solved, it's my responsibility. If our finances are struggling, it's my responsibility. If the kids aren't doing what they ought to be doing, it's my responsibility to lead, to take the initiative. God holds every man in this room responsible to take the initiative in your marriage and family. That's what he's talking about here. It's a responsibility. And men, I'd give you three thoughts to meditate on here, all right? Number one is partner with your wife. Number one, partner with your wife. Leadership is not lonesome. Leadership is not alone. Leadership is a partnership. See, my wife is a brilliant lady. I'm the one responsible to God for this marriage and this family of mine, but a wise man always partners with his wife. And we're going to show you, ladies, in a moment that submission is a partnership with your husband. But I don't have to handle the finances by myself. Beth and I can sit down and I can say, how much are we going to spend on groceries right now with groceries going through the roof? How do we do this? How can we balance the budget over here? And how are we going to handle this kid? And my wife was pretty good at looking to me for leadership in that area. She would say things like, your son, or your daughter. And that was my signal for, all right, this is my responsibility to take the initiative here. Men, you remember I told you last night that God designed your brain to work slower than your wives. That's why God holds you responsible for the initiative. God designed you wives to feel everything and to, you know, put it all together and mix it all up. That's how God designed you. But God designed you guys to be absolutely down the line, to think it over, meditate on it, mull it over, and make wise decisions. You don't have to do that on your own, though. You can partner. Ask your wife. Talk it over with your wife. If you're making all these decisions, but you haven't involved your wife, can I say it? That's unwise. Because you're no longer one by yourself, it's we. You're together. The two of you are one person now. So leadership, yeah, you're responsible, but leadership is a partnership. So partner with your wife. Number two, write this one down. Discuss with your wife. Men, this is how you lead. Discuss it with your wife. How many of y'all have little ones? How many of y'all have little ones at home? Isn't it great to have little ones? Children come into your life and stay. Twins, as the case may be. But seriously, there's a lot of issues you deal with in a marriage, right? Discuss things with each other. Guys, talk to your wife about things. How are we going to handle this? We're going to show you, wives, that ultimately when there's a big issue that can't be resolved between the two of you, he's the one responsible to make the final choice. But God never expects you men to make the final choice in every little detail of your marriage where it's my way or the highway. We're one. So when we've discussed it and talked about it, and then I say, okay, here's what we've discussed. And I think this is good to even say. It's all right to have it, discuss it, put it all on the table, talk it over, every issue in your marriage. And then when you come to a decision, discuss that. This is what I'm thinking. This is what I'd like to do. What do you think about that? See, somebody's got to take the initiative. Like, I'm the pastor of Westwood Baptist Church in Poplar Bluff, Missouri, and someone came to our office recently and did a training for our staff. And the question in the training for our staff was, who is the boss of this church? And the answer he was looking for was the answer they gave. The answer was, well, pastor's the boss. And the guy says to my staff, if pastor is the boss of this church, he's a failure. So our staff were like, excuse me, we're Baptists. But here's what my pastor friend said. He said, Jesus said, we don't lead like the Gentiles in lordship. Jesus said, we lead in servantship. So we don't go from the top down. It's not from the top down. All right, I'm up here and here's my staff and here's my deacons and here's my church and bless God, I'm the man in charge. Nope. Here's the church and I'm out here in front. I'm responsible to lead, but I serve them. And that's how I lead. So it's like this, not like this. And I think that's a good way to think of your marriage, guys. You are the leader. But it's not that you're up here. All right, I'm telling you right now, woman, I'm in charge of this marriage. You got that? No, it's like, this is the love of my life. This is my best friend. This is the woman I married. This is the woman I plan to get old with. This is the mother of my children. So what do? I lead not from up here looking down on her. I lead from here serving her. I lead. This is how I lead. The head here is a leadership partnership. And guys, if you'll understand that, it doesn't negate your leadership. You are responsible to take the initiative. You got a financial problem in your family? All right, guys, it's time to call a meeting. So, you know, let's talk about this. How are we going to handle this? You got a child that you're struggling with? Child won't obey and it's driving you crazy? You got a child driving you crazy? All right, it's time to have a talk. I'm the leader. Honey, what are we going to do about this? How are we going to train? What are we going to change? What are we going to improve? What are we going to pick up? You got teenagers? There's a lot to discuss, isn't there? You got teenagers? Just take one word when it comes to teenagers if you have a daughter, modesty. Isn't that always a battle? Yeah, some people, like we don't wear slacks, dresses only. You know what you deal with there? Modesty. Some of you let your daughters wear slacks. You know what you deal with there? Modesty. It's always an issue. So you know, I can, as the dad, take the initiative. I'm telling you right now, you're not wearing that. Or Bethany and I can say, how can we help our daughter to embrace the Bible teaching of modesty? I'm the one responsible, but see, I'm partnering because we're one. Does this make sense or not? So discuss it. Partner with your wife. Discuss it with your wife. And then number three, pray with your wife. This is, man, how you take the responsibility. Pray with your wife. Pray with your wife. Pray with your wife. If you're in this room right now and the two of you don't pray together, it's time to pick it up. Start there. Pray with each other. See, I don't know how to do that. I feel awkward about that. Well, don't feel awkward about it. You talk, don't you? God is real, isn't he? So you talk. Schedule. This will help you. Schedule the time you're going to pray with each other. Maybe before you go to work or before you go to bed or after dinner, you're going to have a few moments. Schedule the time. Schedule the time. It's going to be our prayer time. Our prayer time primarily is after we walk in the mornings. So we get up early. Bethany drinks hot tea. I often have a cup of coffee. I'll read the Word of God. I pray. She reads the Word of God. She prays. And then before I get my day started, as far as heading over to the office to take care of things at the church, whatever, here's what we do. We always go for a walk, get our golden retriever and put her on a leash and we walk and we'll walk at least 20 to 30 minutes. What do we do during that time? We talk. We share a heart and talk about issues and things we couldn't talk in front of charity. So we talk about things together and have a big talk while we're walking up and down the road in front of our house. And then we go in the garage and we pray together before she goes back in that house and before I go in to get ready for my day, and we pray together. We don't have a revival meeting. We don't take up an offering. We don't sing Just As I Am. But we just take a few moments. And normally, guys, I pray. I take the initiative there. All right, let's pray. And I'll pray for her and for the kids, if nothing else. And there's needs in the church. Sometimes I'll pray for someone having surgery. And because we do serve our church. And so pray with your wife. That's leadership. Make sense? All right. And then here's the last thing to put in your notes there. The two of you should agree here. All right. How many of y'all agree that the Bible teaches that the husband should be the head of the wife? Do y'all believe that or not? Is that what the Bible teaches? How many of y'all agree that the Bible teaches the wife should submit to her husband? Y'all agree that's what it teaches? All right. So agree on it. On your way home, if nothing else, have a talk and say, what do you think about that? And how can we make that work? See, come to an agreement. So this isn't it's not that. It's not butting heads. No, it's an agreement. So Bethany and I have an agreement. This is how I lead, and this is how I partner with her, and this is how she's going to submit to me. And it's not like we write it down, you know, here's our 10 steps to how we're going to. But no, we agreed that, all right, she's going to allow me to take the responsibility. And I'm going to partner with her in that responsibility. Agree on this because you love each other. Do y'all love each other? Are y'all getting sleepy? All right, because if we get sleepy, I'll have to sing my favorite children's song. If you're happy and you know it, slap your neighbor. So don't make me sing that. All right. So Bethany, you got the rest of the time here. Men, you're to take the initiative, and then wives, fill this in, and Bethany will take over. Wives, you are to accept partnership. You are to accept partnership. All right. It's all yours, babe.
We are using the word partnership not because we're trying to make the word submission more palatable. In our culture, submission is not a palatable concept. But we're using the word partnership so that we can understand it a little better. In everything in life, there has to be a leader and there has to be followers. If you have two leaders in a business, it doesn't work. You have to have the manager, and then you have to have people who make whatever he decides to do happen. And so the same thing happens in marriage. It works so much better if you have a leader, someone who's helping to make the decisions, and then a wife who comes alongside him and helps him to make that happen. That's why we call it a partnership. So we're saying that you accept that. That is what the Word of God says. Ladies, I know that if you get on social media and you listen to the top lady speaker in Christianity, she may not see it the way the Bible sees it. Be very, very careful that you are biblical in this part of your marriage, that you are accepting, I am going to partner with him. The word submission is not a scary word. It just means under the mission of another. So that your husband, David, in our marriage, he has a mission. He has a goal. He has a view. He has a dream. And I just come alongside him and I help him to make that happen. That's all that submission is. This is not all by yourself, but you must do it on purpose. So you accept the partnership, and then you have to purpose to get it done. This is where we can trip up, ladies. We can say, yeah, I believe in submission. I believe that I need to partner with my husband. And then reality hits. He starts to make a decision, and you're like, but. Because we can think of all kinds of things. So this is going to help us. Look to your husband. That's number one under not all by yourself and on purpose. Look to him. I would even take it even further. I would say lean towards him. This is really when submission, leadership and submission happen in real life, in real time. This is what happens. David has talked about this a lot, but God created our husbands to see one thing at a time. They see the goal. And so a decision needs to be made, and they're like, okay, this is what we need to do. And they see that goal. What do we see? Everything that it's going to take to get that goal. We see all the details, right? And so immediately our brains are firing. Oh my goodness, if we're going to do that, then this has to happen, this has to happen, this has to happen, this has to happen. And by the time we get done, you know, naming the 10 things that it's going to take to get this goal done, we're overwhelmed and stressed out.
And so is he.
And we're thinking, there is no way. There is no way I can get this done. There is no way this is going to happen. And then instead of allowing the Lord to calm our heart and thinking, okay, I'm going to partner with him. I'm going to help him get this mission done. I'm going to do this on purpose. And looking to him, we start naming it.
well, and this, no, that's not going to work because this, and that's not going to work because of this, and then we got to do this over here with the kids, and on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And by the time you're done, again, you're still stressed out, and he's like, you're right, that was a dumb idea. That's not where you want to go. So look to him and lean towards him. Start with this. That's a great idea. Even if you're in your heart, you're like, there's 50 reasons why we shouldn't do this. That's a great idea. Look to him and pray about it. That's the last one. Pray with your husband. But pray in your heart, ladies. Pray and say, Lord, help me right now, because this is the decision that you have laid on his heart. And so I'm just going to lean towards him. I'm going to look towards him. Help me not to say anything that I shouldn't say. Number two there is listen to your husband. Hear him out. Sometimes he starts to talk about this. Hey, this is the direction we're going to go. And you just cut him off. Oh, no, 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 that's not going to work. It can be something as simple as, hey, after work tonight, I thought that maybe we could get a babysitter and you cut him. No way. No, not tonight. Can't do that. Mm-mm. You didn't even hear him out. So listen. And then, number three, discuss it. Talk with him. If you have questions, this is the point where you ask the questions. After you've looked to him and leaned his way, after you listen to everything he has to say, then this is the time that you'll say, instead of saying, that won't work, because instead of saying that, how about this? Say, hey, hun, when we were talking about this, I was wondering, how are we going to get this done as we follow this decision night? You know, and he may say, you know what? I hadn't thought about that. Let me think about it. Or he might say, that's a good point. Maybe we should change it. Girls, it can take When a man, and this is proven, if you read the book For Women Only, this is a scientific fact, it can take a man up to 7 hours to think through an important decision.
One of the greatest things I've ever read was that line right there.
And seriously, the way that David was describing a man's or a woman's brain like spaghetti, he wasn't being derogatory there. It's just that our synapses fly like this in our brain. So that as he's thinking something through, you know, and he may take up to 7 hours to make that decision, it takes us 7 seconds. I know what to do. We got it. Or we think we do. But we are not called to lead the home. So if you ask those questions and he says, I don't know, I haven't thought about it, give him time. Give him time to think it through, to pray it through. And then we should have a plan. Have a plan to get that mission done. Talk about it. Say, how can we plan this so that
skip,
it helps you?
You skip pray.
Number four is pray.
Pray with your husband.
Oh, number four, it says talk with your husband.
All right, maybe it's talk with your husband.
Talk and pray.
Oh, there you go. There talk and pray. We just missed one line.
Discuss is talk. So anyway, pray with your husband, and then you should have a plan. That's number two under wives accept
at the bottom.
Yes. So have a plan. Maybe your husband just says, hey, this is what we're going to do. And then he leaves and goes to work. Well, then get a plan and start to get it done. Submission, ladies, is not a derogatory thing. It is not a second class thing. It is a beautiful thing. When you have that loving relationship, and you're looking to your husband to lead, and you're listening to him, and you're following him, it makes life so much more beautiful. I look at marriages in our church and the marriages that we are counseling, and the couples are sitting on the couch across from us as we're sitting in David's office, and the lady can come up with 50 reasons why her husband is not a good leader. And he's sitting there silent. And I just think to myself, if you would just follow what the Word of God says, look to your husband, lean towards him. Yes, discuss it. Yes, pray about it. But then follow him. Your life would be so much happier. You would be happier. So submission is a beautiful thing.
So here's how we'll close. All of you men in the room, ask God to help you to take the initiative. I'm going to start leading in our home. You're not going to be a lord. You're not going to be angry. You're not going to be demanding. But no, you're going to start talking with your wife and partnering. How are we going to handle this? What are we going to do with this? How are we going to take care of that? You start making decisions with your wife. Honey, let's go to church every service. Let's start tithing. How can we make that happen? Let's do better with our children. What could we do to help our kids be better behaved and happier kids? Husbands, you take the initiative. That's what I want you men to get from this session. Take the initiative. Wives, what should you take from this session? I'm going to ask God to help me as a Christian lady to start looking to my husband. And maybe one of the things you ladies could take away from this is start asking him questions. Honey, what should we do about this? Honey, how should we handle our finances? Where should we make a change? Because if the two of you work at leadership and submission, you know what you have? A winning marriage. And it's God's plan for you. It's a beautiful thing. Now, here's the deal. None of us have arrived, and all of us have work to do in these areas. So don't beat yourself up. You're like, I've never heard this in my life. But you know what? The reason Paul wrote this in the Word of God through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is because it was new in that generation too. But all of us can apply the Bible. And as we begin growing in the Word of God, Bethley is right. It makes us happy in our relationship as a couple. Well, we're 4 minutes over. Thank you for listening to this one. And there's still a lot yet to cover. And you look like you could probably use a break. Should we sing Father Abraham? And all right, sir. All right, take a 10-minute break. And then we'll split into our sessions. Where are we going at that time?